Paul Douglas, News Talk 830 WCCO. Thanks for coming along the ride. I take nothing for granted the older I get. It's been a great 5 years. Wouldn't change a thing. Getting to hang out with Jordana. It went exactly to plan, right? I mean, we had a once-in-a-century plague, insurrections, Jordana battling leukemia. It's, you know, it's a metaphor for life, right? You play the hand you're dealt, and we've all been dealt a pretty lousy hand. Today, it is my pleasure to introduce Dean Phillips, Congressman Dean Phillips, who's joining us for a reaction on a couple of different things. Dean, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Paul, so good to be with you. And as you referenced, lots of tough times over the last couple of years, but your voice and WCCO is a bright light of consistency for all of us. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Your reaction to today's Supreme Court decision, did you see it coming? And what counsel would you have for women and men in Minnesota and all across the nation who might be listening right now? What would you like to say to them?
I'm sorry. It's hard to come by the right words on a day that is so horrifying for so many, for many women, for so many Americans. A majority, an overwhelming majority of Americans believe that the tenets of Roe versus Wade should be preserved. And let me start by saying that, you know, being pro-choice does not make someone pro-abortion. This is an issue of rights, of freedom, of liberty for women and for Americans. And you asked if I saw it coming. I will tell you, a few years ago, I never could have imagined. Then, of course, a few weeks ago, we all had to start imagining. Mm-hmm. And then today, despite the writing on the wall, it still came as a gut punch. Probably 150 of my colleagues and I walked across the street from the Capitol to the Supreme Court to join those who were expressing themselves. And I have to tell everybody listening that, look, I'm a man. I don't have a uterus. This is not a decision that should be made by people like me. I watched my staffers, many of them women, my own daughters, texts and messages to me of horror and dismay, and are ones that are going to leave an indelible mark on me, Paul. And I want to let everybody who's grieving grieve, but also remind everybody that I'm amongst many here in Washington and around the country that will not sit back, will not accept this, and will do everything humanly possible to make changes, to legislate changes, and from a political perspective, encourage Americans to vote for those who believe in affording freedoms and liberties to women to make their own decisions. It should not be left to men.
Dean, to that point, I mean, it seemed up until a couple of weeks ago when word leaked out and this draft of the decision came out, it seemed like the Republicans would be a shoo-in to make major gains in Congress in the fall. Do you believe that this issue, this specific issue, is going to galvanize Democrats for the midterms and even for 2024?
Well, Paul, I think it's going to galvanize Americans who believe in freedom and liberty and in a government that shouldn't impose itself on Americans' bodies, on women's bodies. This isn't about just Democrats. This is about any level-headed, decent-minded American. And by the way, you know me. I make it a point to convene and break bread and befriend my Republican colleagues. I have great admiration and friendships with many of them. On this subject, though, there's a great impasse, and we have to acknowledge that. I do think this will change the dynamics heading into November. There is an extreme element of the Republican Party that is becoming apparent. Anybody watching the January 6th hearings, anybody who paid attention today to the decision by the Supreme Court, which, by the way, just 24 hours before, made it easier to carry handguns in American cities, and 24 hours later denied women's rights. Only 14 Republicans in the entire United States House of Representatives today voted for a common sense gun safety bill that was negotiated by a senior member of the Republican Senate leadership, John Cornyn. So I'm afraid to say that there is going to be a clear choice this November, and I hope we defer to principle. Liz Cheney, someone with whom I don't vote regularly with, is a person of principle. This is not about Republicans. This is about people of principle and who believe in women's rights and a limited government when it comes to imposing on Americans' bodies. That's what this really comes down to, no matter which party you identify with.
Congressman Phillips, I appreciate your effort to reach across the aisle and find common ground and come up with solutions for all Americans. It seems like, you know, many of us go into our respective camps and we don't really want to talk and interact with anybody else, but then nothing gets done. So I appreciate what you've done during your tenure in Washington, D.C. I want to ask you this. We only have a couple of minutes left, but the January 6th hearings this week, what were the aha moments, if any, that made you do a double take as a congressman, as a citizen of the United States? What should listeners know about the evidence that was produced this week?
Yeah. Well, Paul, you know, I was in the chamber that day. I was subject to the insurrection. I attended the first evening's hearing because I wanted to learn what happened with an open mind and an open heart. And what I found most remarkable, most eye-opening of the number of hearings that have now been held is the fact that Donald Trump's inner circle is sharing the evidence, is providing the narrative, is telling the truth of what happened. The election wasn't stolen. There was a conspiracy to create an insurrection to prevent the legal counting of the ballots that day, to try to prevent the peaceful transition of power for the first time in American history. I mean, that is becoming clear. Two Republicans sitting on the commission, on the committee, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, have been extraordinary and courageous in developing this narrative and investigating it and calling on those who were party to it to share the truth. Again, this isn't about Democrats and Republicans. This could have happened by the far left just as easily as the far right, any president under any banner. The fact is Donald Trump inspired it, enabled it, along with people with whom I work in the United States Congress, people who proactively asked for pardons because they knew if they were caught, they would be breaking the law. That is an epiphany. It is a danger. And again, no matter your politics, my friends listening today, please choose people of principle and of honor and integrity when we send them to St. Paul or to Washington, to city councils and school boards. It's not about politics. It's about principle.
Okay, I'm going to squeeze this question in. I hate being the only one who predicts the future. I'm going to ask you to predict the future. A lot of talking heads are speculating that these hearings may become the basis for a possible indictment, that DOJ taking their time, but they want to make sure all the evidence they have is present and sift through that, and basically a stamp of approval, perhaps, for lack of a better word, from Congress. Do you think there will be indictments? Do you think the former president is going to be indicted? I know that has a lot of weight, and yes, it's unprecedented, but do you think it's going to happen?
Well, let me say this, Paul. I believe the evidence that is being presented, by the way, more is being discovered by the hour. If that builds a legitimate case where the evidence is overwhelming that the former president essentially initiated a conspiracy to prevent the peaceful transition of power, the Department of Justice has a tough decision. And I think it is fair to say, and I think most would agree, it would be very difficult for a former president of the United States to be charged criminally by the Department of Justice. But I would also argue that if, in this case, the facts are overwhelming and the evidence is clear, it is even more dangerous not to, because the objective of these hearings, the objective of my service in Congress and so many others, Democrats and a few Republicans, is to ensure this doesn't happen again. And I call on all the better angels listening to remember that democracy doesn't take care of itself. We have to take care of it. And that means preserving the institutions the systems, the structures that have brought us to this remarkable point, and many blessings. But they're at risk if people don't start participating and, again, pursuing principle first. I think the decision will be a tough one. It will be difficult no matter which path they pursue, but we will see the end of the hearings and let the lawyers do the lawyering, as they say. Either way, we've got some tough days ahead, America and the world. And I'm proud to be a Minnesotan. I'm honored to represent the 3rd District. I see the beauty in our community of Minnesotans who are civil, honorable, decent, thoughtful Americans from whom the rest of the country can learn. When we disagree, we do it without being terribly disagreeable. And I think that's the antidote right now, Paul. And I hope Americans start tuning into We Minnesotans because there's a lot at stake. I'm confident, I'm optimistic, but we have some work to do, and I believe we'll get it done.
Congressman Dean Phillips, really appreciate you joining us on this momentous news day. Thank you for your perspective, and be safe out there. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, Paul, and keep the faith, everybody.
Thank you.